Sydney, a city of coffee, beer, wine, and fear. Mainly the fear that drinking so much coffee, wine, and beer was a bad idea. It's to cities what hangovers are to drinking. But we love it. So sit back and take the ultimate cure. 1 hour of pure, uncut radio chaser.
Yes, we are back on the airwaves this week. My name is Dom Knight. We've got Craig Rucastle, Andrew Hansen and Charles Firth broadcasting on Triple M, but also on various landmarks across Sydney. Check the news this morning and I saw that someone had projected onto the Opera House the words, "Advertise here, call Alan," and then a mobile phone number. This, of course, is following on from all the controversy over the horse race. The barrier draw set to be projected onto the Opera House tonight. Now, Charles Firth, there was a video during the rounds that featured you in it.
Yeah.
Talk us through it.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what, how it all happened, which is it started on this show because yesterday we made a call out for a large projector. 133353, if you do actually own or have access to an incredibly powerful projector that could, you know, I don't know, we're talking sort of, I don't know, how tall.
Oh, maybe big enough to put an image on a really big building or
something like that.
Are you serious? I heard that yesterday because I was listening in. It's not on the show, but someone actually got in touch and said, "I've got a massive projector, I can help you out."
No, Dom, not someone. Hundreds of people got in touch.
Everyone's got a projector.
Everyone's got a projector. And so we were just swamped with offers. Mm. So by about sort of 8:30 last night, we'd tracked down a projector. We'd tracked down, because the thing that actually you need when you've got a really large projector is a huge power source.
Oh, yeah.
So, and luckily...
Coal station?
I've got a projector, but I also know someone who's got a power source. Yeah, so we've got this huge generator, and the whole idea was we were going to go out on the harbour.
Because
that's the obvious thing to do.
Yeah, right? You get the best view of the harbour. So, but hang on, so why didn't you go on the harbour? Did you get a boat?
No, we got better than that. So we put out an offer, we said on Twitter, anyone got a boat? And we got all these things. And then somebody with a barge rang up. And they went, "Oh, it'll be more stable, mate."
I was going to go, Charles, you're literally explaining what you're planning to do on Twitter.
I know.
And people are getting in touch. You got hundreds of responses.
You can imagine Al-Qaeda in the Twitter days. "Hey, guys, just wondering if he's got a plane."
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
So how come you didn't use a boat then?
No, because what happened is, so it was all on. And then he said, "I'll call you back in about 15 minutes. And he called back and he said, "Oh, mate, they've just upped the security on Sydney Harbour to level 2.
Which means that's a weird coincidence. Why would they do that?
Barges are now not allowed anywhere near the Opera House.
Gosh, I wonder why they would have made that change.
So we put the harbour into lockdown. Sorry if you were in a small dinghy or barge last night.
And yet Charles managed to project the image on the Opera House. We'll find out how he did it next here on Triple M. Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Now, the city is divided. A lot of people are very angry about the use of the Opera House for the horse race. Other people are angry that it's even a problem. Charles took it upon himself to do something about it. So he and a bunch of our mates tried to project onto the Opera House, "Advertise here, call Alan," and then a mobile number. We'll get to the details of what the number was. But when we last heard the story, Charles had a barge booked, couldn't get out there because of restrictions on the harbour. And yet, as we know from the papers today, you did it. How did you do it?
Well, this was about 8:30 p.m. and we decided, well, it's not going to happen, is it? Like, how else can you project, you know, onto the...
To be fair, Sydney does close down at 8:30 p.m. You should have been quite anonymous at that time.
You were a boy with a dream of a projection on the Opera House. How did you do it?
So we loaded the power generator into a huge van and had the projector outside the door of the van so we could, you know, quickly get the van door out. That was the idea. And then we turned on the generator to test it and 6,500 watts of petrol fumes in the back of a van is not a good thing. It doesn't work. And we're going, this is just not going to work. And then somebody, the guy who owned the van said, "Oh, I've just remembered, I own a ute." Would that be better?
So it's all crowdsourcing. If you just join us, Charles put out the call on social media. You've got a massive projector. He got a barge. You've got a generator. You've now got a truck and a ute to do this. Sydney's on board.
So we got the ute and he strapped it down. And he said, oh, it doesn't matter if the projector falls off anyway.
Yeah, because everyone in Sydney's apparently got a projector.
And then we just go, and we go, we're not going to get the Opera House, but let's just go and project it on some buildings. Like, you know, the art gallery and Queen Victoria building, things like that. And we start testing it out, and you're going, this is a really powerful projector. Like, this is going to work. And we get to the art gallery, and it totally works. You know, like, that is a great billboard. Like, just, if you're an advertiser out there, I reckon...
Just strap it to the back of your ute and go out there.
And what you should do is get Alan Jones to ring up the director of the art gallery and yell at her. And
your job's on the line.
Yeah. So it says, advertise here, call Alan, and this is... Is this Alan Jones's mobile number?
This is his real personal mobile number. We managed to track down his actual personal mobile number.
And I guess that you didn't want to have to go through the 2GB switch because it would be inconvenient for the 2GB switch to have to answer these calls.
Yeah.
You really want Alan to be able to get this directly to him, right?
No, exactly. The whole point is that Alan Jones has been talking all week about how this is the people's race and I'm talking about on behalf of the people. I represent the people. And yet he wasn't actually listening to any of the people.
I know. Well, this, you because, needed to call him directly.
We needed to call him directly and say, hey, mate, we don't want bloody ads on our Opera House.
Now, look, I still want to know, though, Charles. So you did on the other, I saw it on the Parliament House. I was like, that's not too bad, but you couldn't really see the number. The gold payoff would have been to get it onto the sales.
Yeah.
How the hell did you do it?
So we were driving down. We went past Parliament House and it projected nicely onto there. It's amazing how...
But Gladys, to be fair, already had that.
She already had that number, yeah. And then so we went past, and as we were approaching, we just saw, actually Julian had said to us earlier in the day, he'd said, what you should do is you should just ignore the security guards at the Opera House and keep driving anyway.
I think he's trying to get you killed.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. But they've got now huge bollards. Like,
it's very hard. Apparently in the past some guy drove in with a giant... Trojan horse in the past, and I think since then they've got a bit more security conscious.
What idiots.
This
what
is
idiots.
The Julian Morrow who turned around when the security during APEC told him to turn around. So, Charles, you got there to the Opera House. What happened?
No, and the whole point was that I realised as we were driving, because I was driving, and we're projecting out the right side of the van, so when they said, I'll turn around, just turn right, if I just turned left instead, and I wrong right, there was just this moment where it actually just completely projected. Went onto the sales. It was amazing.
I love that. So you were both obeying their directions and yet getting what you wanted.
Yes.
The shot of the number on the Opera House.
Well done, Charles. Let's find out after the song what the follow-up has been.
There's been quite a bit of follow-up. You're on Triple M. Radio Chaser on Triple M with Craig, Charles, Andrew and Dom. Now, Charles, of course, is the one who projected... advertise here, call Alan, and then the man's mobile number onto the Opera House earlier this morning. We've just been hearing the story about how he actually did it. If you haven't seen the video, it's up on the Chaser Facebook page as well.
Well, when you say Alan's number, do you mean...
No, you can't.
I'm not sure you're allowed to say that.
But how do I know which number I'm not allowed to say? Is it the...
One. You're not allowed to say that
one. That's the one.
Look, it was an amazing thing, but Charles, your day didn't end there, did it? Your phone's been running hot.
No, it's been running very, very hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get any contact from mainstream media? Like, did they get in touch?
Not really, but Studio 10.
I watched this. This was great. Let's have a bit of a listen because it did get very, very fiery.
Have you spoken to Alan Louise Herron? Yes or no?
You seem to be very well connected and you're a lovely person.
No,
that's not the point.
Yeah. But what does it feel like getting steamrolled by Kerri-Anne Kennelly?
Yeah, I didn't actually recognise her because up close, she's had a bit of work.
Oh.
But, yeah, no, sorry.
Great way to win back everyone's sympathy for Kerri-Anne. Yeah. But look, it kind of got you a bit of a stoush, actually. It was like the kind of the very wealthy connected TV presenter versus the upstart kind of comedian. And I didn't even realise who you work for.
You hate people with wealth.
No, I love people with wealth, especially when they give you money.
Who funds the ABC?
Everyone. No, that's the great thing about the ABC is everyone owns it and everyone thinks, just like the Sydney Opera House, everyone owns it.
The ABC is so balanced. That's what I love about it.
I don't actually work for the ABC. I work for a very small non-profit called Triple M. We've got a radio radio chaser. 3 till 4. National and
Great plug. She obviously hasn't heard of this show.
I can't believe Karen doesn't listen.
But it got even more heated than that at another point in the program, though, because Charles, she challenged you. She put down her cards. She thought she could catch you out. Let's have a listen.
What's your number? Give it to me now.
0419.
0419, yeah.
282.
282.
Are you serious? 188. Yeah, that's my number. Yeah.
Okay. Is it?
You can give me a call if you want.
There you go. Call Charles. There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to call you now.
Give me a call.
Hang on.
I'm surprised you don't already have it, Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, well, now I do.
Yeah. Hey, clever. I've been sending
the pictures to the wrong number.
Pretty funny. And then your phone started running hot. I've been watching it for hours. It's been just ringing and ringing.
Thousands and thousands of calls. It was a terrible mistake.
I like, firstly, Charles, that you had no hesitation in giving out your own mobile number. And that also... we just played it again.
Oh, no!
He's been getting a lot of calls. We'll hear a few of them next here on Radio Chaser. Yes, and home of Charles Firth on the airwaves, a man who's been dividing Sydney. His phone number was given out on Studio 10. Some people thought maybe he shouldn't have broadcast Alan Jones's mobile number, personal number on the Opera House this morning with the words, advertise here, call Alan and the number. But now your phone number is also public.
That's just a good thing. You're not a hypocrite, Charles. It's great.
No, exactly. Like, if I'm going to give out Alan Jones's number, you know, I've got a radio show. I should give out my personal number as well.
So what was that number again?
0419 282188.
I love your real number. Never any hesitation.
He's had it for 20 years.
But the funny thing is, like, I thought that Studio 10 had about 3 listeners and they all wouldn't have had mobile phones anyway because they're about 80. I've had literally thousands of voicemails and texts today. Like thousands of people. It's unbelievable.
We've got a little sample. We actually logged into Charles's voicemail. Here's a few of the nuggets we found in there.
Just ringing to say what a flog you are. G'day, Charlie. George here. Just wanted to put a sign up on your house. If you could please give us a call back. Thanks, mate.
Well done. Good on you. And I'm glad you had the character to put your number on the screen. Hello, I think you'd think twice about doing that again, won't you?
I think you're right, buddy. It's a opera house, not a racetrack. You're a dickhead telling people private telephone numbers. That is absolutely pathetic. It doesn't matter your persuasion or what, this is pathetic. It should be outlawed. It's a crime.
You're an absolute wanker, mate.
Darling, it's just your mum. Hope you're okay. Bye, darling.
So 24/7, Charles's phone is now open to the whole of Sydney.
That's great.
Fantastic.
What I really love about that is that the wanker one was Charles's dad.
That's right. I do really like that. The interesting thing, though, that one, the second last one, have we got it there? What's it, the one that yelled at you?
He wasn't happy.
The funny thing about that, of course, is that these people forget that when they call you, you can also see their mobile number.
Yeah, so we've got the mobile number of this guy.
You're an absolute f***ing wanker, mate.
So can we, why don't we give him a call and see?
He's got a perspective he wants to share.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's see. Can we get his number?
Hello?
Oh, g'day. This is Charles from The Chaser here. You gave me a call earlier. Hello?
Don't be worried, mate. We agree with you. Charles is a f***. We just wanted to get a bit deeper on that.
Yeah, now's your chance, mate. Have a free shot.
Hello?
It's a shame.
Oh.
Give me a call back. You know, if he's not going to answer, and we've got to get on with the show, maybe what we should do is we should give out his number and then other people can call him.
Maybe that's one. The way.
Yeah.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser here. Now, Charles Firth's phone number was broadcast on Studio 10 this morning following his decision to put Alan Jones's phone number on the Opera House. A bit of tit for tat. That means, Charles, you're a person whose phone number is completely public knowledge. To talk you through what that is like, our friend Carl Chandler is on the line. He's from the excellent comedy podcast, The Little Dum Dum Club. And Carl's phone number has been out there for many, many years. Hey, Carl.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
How long has it been?
Yeah, maybe it's been 4 or 5 years. I was going to say, how did you get this number? But then I remembered, yeah, it's everywhere.
You know, so the bloody irony of that is that I know that your number is the most public number out there. I think it was on a T-shirt at one point, and I couldn't find it and had to text Chaz, for God's sake. So not out there. But just, it's a tough call. If you're Alan Jones right now, his number's been put out there. A lot of people have been calling it. Do you reckon he should stick with that number? Like, what does that lead to in your life if you're Alan Jones? What's your life been like with your number out there?
Look, it's driven me from a lack of success to even more lack of success, I'd say. I'm just still doing a podcast. Like, I'm happier that my number is out there. I'm sort of a bit disappointed that you guys didn't have it. But, look, I would say my advice would be for people that are looking at using that number is what I've learned from the people that have done stuff to me, which is, look, your primal instinct is to use the number, ring Alan Jones up and scream into his ear. Look, that's very basic, you know. And then there's the middle sort of bracket, which is sort of stuff like I get a lot of people ringing me from impotence clinics where I'm being signed up for that sort of thing. So he's probably copping a lot of that about now, which is also not as simple as you think, because what the good thing about impotence clinics ringing you up is you answer and go, oh, look, this isn't me. Someone else has rung. And they go, look, we get that all the time. You've got a problem. So I've copped a lot of that where I can't get off the phone to a doctor from an impotence clinic. But I think the best advice I can give is to think of the long game, which is, I think the best example that I've copped is, I don't know how they did this, but someone online got to change a Guzmán y Gómez store phone number to my number.
That's
fantastic.
Wow.
So you've had years of incredibly creative pranks coming your way.
That's great.
What happened with that is I got about 2 months' worth of people. Every time they got a soggy burrito, I'd get the blame for it. I'd be getting texts and phone calls and stuff. And it went on for that long that I just started to go, I've got to make this work in my favour. So I start whenever I'd get complaints. Like, I was at a music festival one time with a heap of mates, and every time I got a complaint that there was like a burrito was late or whatever, I just take pictures of my friends unconscious on the ground saying, well, the chef's passed out.
So, Charles, how does this make you feel knowing that you're entering the world of 24/7 constant pranks?
Well, would you like fries with that or maybe some guacamole?
I love the fact that, thanks, Carl, thanks for telling us this. It opens us up to so many more opportunities. I was only thinking you could call Alan Jones, but there's so much more that can happen with that number. I'm thrilled.
Look, there's no one I would rather call if I had a soggy burrito, I think, than Alan Jones. Carl, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for talking us through it.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, mate. That's Carl. His number is 043.
Now, look, Charles's phone is still running hot. Seriously, these numbers going absolutely crazy. But, Charles, Alan Jones is, as always, a few steps ahead of the game. Charles has just answered. Craig just answered his phone for him.
I'm going to be your secretary, mate.
Now, if you haven't heard the news today, it's on all the news websites. Charles broadcast Alan Jones's phone number onto the Opera House because that's the number you've got to call if you want to advertise on the Opera House. But given all the controversy, Alan Jones actually apologised, Charles, this morning. He said he thought he'd gone too far with Louise Herron of the Opera House, and he was writing to her to express his regret. Hearing that, do you feel any guilt about what you've done?
Yeah, there is this strange feeling. I've never felt it before. Is that called guilt, is it?
It's just like indigestion.
There has been quite a lot of messages. For example, the one that just texted me just this second was, what a complete wanker. And then the guy who we played earlier actually just texted, he's now fallen off the screen. Oh, my God.
It's incredible how many you usually can't keep up. Now that you've seen this, this is your life now. Now that you've done this to Alan Jones
this
too.
Is you for the rest of your life, Charles. How does that make you feel?
Somebody else is calling. Should we just answer?
Do you want me to talk
to you? No, someone's phoning. Not allowed to answer. Are we? Okay.
No, you can't.
No, I probably should apologise, shouldn't I? Just to make the phone call.
If you feel it in your heart.
I think I do. I think I feel it as much as Alan Jones feels it when he apologises. Radio
Chaser. Jesus, I hope someone understands how f***ing irritated I am by this. Triple
M. And this is Radio Chaser, home of Charles Firth's mobile number 0419282188.
Bastard.
Was that Cat's Pajamas or Cat's Piss that I did that? Let's find out.
Cat's Pajamas or Cat's Piss.
Now, here's a great one for you, Mr. War on Waste, Craig Rucastle. Yes. A Russian musician called Pavel Andreev carried a grand piano, helped by seven other men, into the middle of a huge landfill site to make a point about recycling and the need for better waste management. He then played a six-hour-long composition that he'd written himself on the piano to try and make people realise that rubbish is a problem. Is that cat's pyjamas or cat's piss
cat's piss
a contribution to the war on waste?
Cat's piss. Get off my turf, Pavel. Yeah. And that's really annoying because he took my idea for the third series, which was just going to be me playing a piano in a dump for 3 hours.
Yeah, well, that would certainly be more entertaining than the first two series.
Pavel's going to win the gold Logie. I reckon he's got that pretty much set up. But I just wonder, is that actually... Like a six-hour crappy composition, is that more waste into the world, or is that actually helpful?
No, the music's recyclable. Haven't you heard Andrew's songs? They always sound exactly the same.
All right. Now, this one's from Gloucester in the UK, where cops were called to a Domino's pizza outlet. A family were holding a sit-in protest because their food arrived late. And they're disappointed that it's all sort of stone cold, even though they lived 8 minutes away. Is that a sensible way to respond to a cold pizza delivery? To go from your house to the outlet and stage a sit-in? What do you think?
Sit-in?
What they should have done is they should have crowdsourced a very large projector and got a generator.
The one segment that wasn't about you in this entire show, Charles, and you had to turn it around.
Yes, Andrew, what do you reckon?
Well, it sounds like what they've done is actually go to the restaurant,
yes,
and just sit in there, which is the opposite, which is what you would normally do if you weren't getting home delivery. So I'm not sure it's a good protest at all. I think it's cat's piss.
No, they brought the cold boxes and sat on the floor.
And did they eat them, or they should have just ordered in? I reckon this is a great protest. I love
this.
They sat
there for 90 minutes trying to get a refund.
And was the point that the restaurant said, yes, we've just delivered piping hot food to your house, which you're now not at?
Well, the police came in the end, and the manager pushed the panic button at 11 p.m. and... bit of a stoush.
I think this is cat's pajamas. I think it's fantastic. I think you are heroes.
it's infuriating, isn't it? When your order doesn't arrive, you know. I mean, it's.
That said, though, Andrew, the problem is if every time you get pizza from Domino's is inedible, you're going to have to just go there every day.
Now you're sitting on the floor.
Kennedy Malloy up next on Triple M, and we've got a bit of confusion here at Radio Chaser because what came through was a piece of paper that said Stephen Curry, but our producer Lee was like, they've got the world's greatest basketballer, Steph Curry, on the show.
Oh, 3-point
champion.
Well,
or
is it
the actor who played Graham Kennedy, the wonderful Australian actor Stephen Curry?
Stephen Curry.
Who would we rather have on the show?
Let me say, if it's the basketballer, cat's pajamas. Right. Well, Stephen Curry's a good... Are you sure? It might not be either of those.
I think
it might just be a curry. It might be a type of curry.
A curry
restaurant.
Maybe.
Is Stephen's Curry takeaway restaurant, where people sit on the floor when the food doesn't get delivered.
So either an actor or a basketballer or an item of food will be on Kennedy Malloy, along with our very own Charles Firth coming up.
Yes, they've invited me. For the first time, I'm going to be on Kennedy Malloy.
Oh, well, it's because you finally did something interesting.
Ruined two shows now. 104.9
Triple M Radio Chaser.